But it's important to read this because the temple service was ordained by God. But there was to come a point in Israel's history when God would send a Redeemer who would take ultimately our punishment. For if a man were to sin, beautiful, a man were to sin, he needs someone to, a life for a life, it says in the Torah. So how could the blood of a bull or a goat take the place of a man? Well, they can't. Or in a way, it serves as a band-aid. But the wound needs to be healed. And it says in the Torah also that the soul of a creature is in its blood. So we need we need new blood. So we have, you want to take bull's blood, or do you want to take the Messiah's blood? So it's important to understand this, and I'll speak very briefly on this. But let's read it together. It's very powerful, really, to read it, what Isaiah says. This is prophesied 700 years, approximately, before his coming. It's still this great hope to those in Israel who are prophesied of exile and returning of exile, and yet full redemption possible through the Messiah. All right, here we go. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Adonai revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Because of oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the stroke was theirs. His grave was given with the wicked, and by a rich man in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Adonai to bruise him. He caused him to suffer. If he makes his soul a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the will of Adonai will succeed by his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty, because he has poured out his soul to death, and he was counted with transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. Powerful. Very powerful. It's good something for us to meditate upon as a people, but particularly as such one of big part of our vision is the outreach into the Jewish community. If you were to say, hey, have you ever read Isaiah 53? Do you know what the response would be? This is Israel. This is the people of Israel. And I don't want to get into too many rabbinic commentaries that would say contrary, but there are many. But I want us just to be honest that people, this is a really great way for you to just even present this text to somebody without even telling them where it's from. You'd be surprised how many people would say, well, that sounds like Jesus. That sounds like the New Testament. That must be something from Christianity. They say, well, no, the Jewish prophet Isaiah wrote this. Because people, frankly, this is not part of the traditional Jewish reading cycle throughout the year. And then when it is ever read by others, it's translated as being for the nation of Israel is in a way atoning for the nations. But I wanted to give you a few verses that really contradict that from the Bible itself, from Isaiah. If you've ever studied much of Isaiah, you'll know that from chapter 42 until 53 are what are called the the servant songs. And it's very, this is not enough time to go into all the depth of it. But there is clearly there are times when the servant is Israel, and there are times when the servant is someone else, someone utterly righteous. So yes, is it possible that the servant is Israel? Yes. But given the description, it would be unfair to the text to say that this servant at this point is Israel. The first place, we'll just go backwards, and there's just a few. There could be more. In Isaiah 49, 5, it says, "So now says Adonai, who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him." So either Israel is schizophrenic, or there's another servant who's sent to redeem Israel. He continues to gather Israel back to him. It clearly must be somebody else. "For I am honored in the eyes of Adonai, and my God has become my strength." So he says, it is God, "It is too trifling a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. So I will give you as a light for the nations, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Clearly, this guy who's not Israel redeems Israel and the nations. So how could this be Israel interceding for the nations? It's unfair reading of the text. Go back even further. Isaiah 48, beginning at verse 1. "Hear this, house of Jacob," clearly talking to the people of Israel, "who are called by the name of Israel, who came from the wellspring of Judah, who swear by the name of Adonai and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness." So the very first verse we read in Isaiah 53 was, "My righteous servant will prosper." But clearly, you see here that Israel is not calling upon God in righteousness. So what's going on? "For they call themselves by the holy city and lean on the God of Israel." Adonai Tzivaot is his name. "I foretold the former things long ago. They went forth from my mouth and I caused them to be heard. Suddenly I acted, so they came about. For I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is iron sinew and your forehead bronze." For somebody who's a righteous servant, like Isaiah 53, the description of this of Israel is not so becoming. Because even we know that somebody innocent can only obtain salvation for somebody guilty. Hence why the sacrifices had to be pure. So if Israel's obstinate, stiff-necked, how can she atone for the nations? Let's go, and then Isaiah 43, verse 4. Isaiah 43, verse 4. "Since you are precious in my eyes," this is Israel, "honored because I love you, I will give a man in exchange for you and other peoples for your life." Clearly, this nation, Israel, needs to be redeemed. And that which needs to be redeemed can't redeem others. So I just want to give you a little bit of ammunition, if you will. And I encourage you to have people read this, even if they're not Jewish, to see the degree to which the Messiah suffered on our behalf. Because I think in some ways it's become, you know, we say Jesus, "Oh, he died for me." Okay, that's true. But the graphic description of this chapter makes it all the more meaningful. And that he took upon himself our sins. And if our sins were okay, not that bad, why would he need to be so beaten and shamed and disgraced and abandoned and dishonored? He suffered this much because our sin is gross and terrible and makes us unclean. You ever have a pot after you cooked hard? It's really got that crust to it. Be it a chicken or vegetables. You know what it takes to clean that pot? Hard work. You want to throw it away. But it takes work to get that gook off. That's what this is. But instead of God throwing us away, he said, I'm going to get to work and I'm going to redeem you. And the Messiah is going to take all that hard work upon himself. I want us to leave here tonight. Yes, Yom Kippur is often a somber, solemn day, usually within the traditional Jewish community. And there's truth to that. But for us, we have another element, which is the rejoicing. And coupled with that is the need to intercede and to pray. That our rejoicing isn't for ourselves, but that all Israel would see. To have that burden upon ourselves. As Paul said, I wish myself were accursed from my own brothers. That they would come to see their Messiah. So as we go out today, let us rejoice that we have salvation and redemption purchased for us at a great cost. And he doesn't ask us to pay it back except in our love and obedience and intercession. And that Israel needs redemption. Don't buy into the lie that they don't, that, oh, Jesus is for the others and that God already has a covenant with Israel. That they need Yeshua. And that God hears our prayers. If we pray in the Spirit, he will move in the Spirit to open their eyes to the truth of who Yeshua is. Show them these truths. Share with them what I shared with you. So that at minimum, they've heard. And that they know the Messiah has suffered for their behalf to bring them into full right standing with God. Let's pray.